something that these two testimonies were sharing. I very clearly heard the Lord speak something I believe is a revelation for me, maybe for you. But when Val said, you know, we stepped out, we don't know if he was healed, a lot of people think, shucks. But the power of the testimony was, is it the person's healing or is it the person who stepped out? If you guys could just hold the swords. I just felt in my heart so clearly that we are going after someone's miracle. That we hear the testimony is someone's miracle, but I feel like the Lord is speaking this morning and saying the greatest miracle of all is that they stepped out. Because I know Val well, I know obviously a part of our church for many, many years, both Val and Earl. When she talked about a mechanic, I thought for sure it was for Earl's Dodge truck, but and obviously Bruce, he's one of our board of directors, has been a part of this ministry for many, many years as well. But the miracle that God's looking for is not the one who gets healed, but the one who's willing to step out. The miracle of Jesus walking on the water wasn't Jesus walking on the water. That was normal in his eyes. He had to get to the other side. The miracle was when Peter stepped out. If you think of all of the miraculous that happened in that one story, the greatest miracle of all was not Jesus Christ calming the wind and the waves, because if you read what that when the wind and the waves obeyed him, it was like the expression in the original text is like Jesus was scolding a little child. You see, he had the power and the authority over that child, the wind and the waves. So for him, it wasn't a miracle. The greatest miracle I believe that was needed to see was not you and I to dwell that Jesus walked on the water or calmed the wind and the waves, but that a human person had enough faith to say, if that's you, Jesus, I'll come to you. Because he said, come. And he stepped out. You see, the success of the power of testimony and the success of the miraculous is not whether or not someone gets healed, but whether you have the faith to believe they will. Or you have the faith to believe that God actually wants you to pray over them and see a miracle happen. And so I want to encourage us this morning. I really feel this in my heart. And I had these two swords just brought up because I felt there was a presence that was entering into this room. And one of these swords is a sword of David. One is a windward sword. And I felt in my heart that God was doing something. So supernaturally, I felt in my spirit that there was an angelic realm that had entered into this land and into this building again. And they weren't looking for the sinner at this instant. They know the sinners. They're actually looking for the saints that walk in sainthood. That this morning in this service and watching on Ustream or live Facebook, whatever it is, wherever this is going, what they were actually looking for is the people that were willing to say, God, you, through your love, forgiveness, and grace, have made me worthy to step out and see the miracle first in my own life before I expect to see it in anyone else's. Because that's the new beginning. That's the fresh start. That's the aspect that God's looking for us to do. I'm kind of rambling a little bit because I don't even know why I brought the swords up, but I just heard the voice of the Lord so clearly in my heart, bring them out. I believe the greatest miracles that we heard between these two testimonies was not the guy from Iran, was not the guy from Abbotsford or wherever he lived. The greatest miracle of testimony was that there was two people willing to step out and pray for someone when probably the whole aspect of the enemy was screaming in their ears saying, don't. You know that nervous, anyone ever get a nervous feeling? And you know you're supposed to do something, but come on, it's a coworker. It's in my job. What if I get fired? What if I lose my job? You know what? It'd be a good job to get, or a good reason to get fired from your job, I'll be honest with you. Not disrupting the workforce. That's not what we're called to do. But on a coffee break, if you feel the need to pray for someone, ask them, and if they accept the prayer and you get fired for that, then that job's not for you. There's a better one for you. Because when you're on your coffee break, you're not taking business time. I feel it's so important, everybody. Let's get a mindset shift and a change that this isn't about seeing the miraculous. This is about being the miracle. We run to conferences to see the miraculous. We want to see the prophets like a puppet on a string and prophesy over everybody. We want to see the evangelists lead hundreds of thousands of people to Jesus. That's great. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. But if we're going for that reason, then we have a problem. We need a miracle in our life. And the miracle is the realization that you and I are the testimony of Jesus Christ. His testimony in us makes us the light of to go through this world. He is the light. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning from the end. He is all powerful over heaven and on earth. He has the victory. When he rose again, he took that key back from the devil that was given to the enemy back in Genesis. And he took it back and he declared from the throne room of triumph in Matthew 28. And he said very clearly, all power and authority in heaven and on earth he has. And I give it to whomever I please. Why don't we please him? Because what did he feel when he saw the woman at the well and he read her mail before he even met her, before he even went to her? What did he do? He opened the dialogue to become the testimony first, the testimony of who he was. And he said, do you need to get me a drink of water? Get me a cup. Open the dialogue immediately. And the greatest testimony was the testimony that Jesus was the Lord, risen Savior. That's our greatest testimony in our lives. So let's all stand. Let's feel in my heart. I have to go forward with something. I don't even know what I'm going forward with.
It's interesting. Brent just said, I don't exactly know what I'm going with these swords. Donna leans over. She goes, Judah came into worship this morning, my little son, and said, where's the swords? He's never said that before. And instantly, it brought me to about, was it a week and a half ago? Exactly. Be like a child. And Donna was speaking to Judah, and she was reminding him, says, Judah, you know, you're named after David. He's that one that killed the Goliath, the giant. Now, this is the big word. Get this revelation of a child. He said, Mama, where's my giant? And if you know Judah, he gets intense. Oh, yeah. And she's like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, no, where am I, my giant? Where's my giant? That's a child. He wants his giant. He's like, he actually said, his words were, bring me to my giant, Mom. He wasn't scared. That's the first thing. And I looked at these swords, and the Lord says, we need to kill our giants. And some of us have hit our giants down, but we haven't cut its head off. We allow it to get back up. That's why these swords are here. If you don't cut the head off, you can get back up. Because we don't know for a fact, but I'm kind of curious if that rock might have just knocked him out unconscious. Right? Why did David pick up the sword? We got to let that giant be done. And as Brent said, as soon as he said, there's somebody in this room, specifically, they were contending for their miracle, I instantly in my spirit leapt. Because all morning, because I'm feeling, the Lord said, the fire of God's going to come. My fire is coming. And I saw it. I already told Nancy, and we said, I don't know where we're going, but there's fire coming. So do you have something to sing about fire? Because I love about this man, and he's led this ministry from the beginning, is we're willing to go where God wants to go. Yes, he's been ready for a message, but he's not worried about the message right now. Because if God doesn't show up, what's the purpose? The whole point I took that, felt the Lord said to take that offering, was that song was like, all about your presence. We took the offering journey to remind ourselves, it's not about the money, it's about his presence. That just helps you get into the presence. Lord, right now, just in your own hearts, we need to start crying out for that fire. Do we want that fire to come? Come on. There's somebody in this room. There be many of you. You kill that giant right now. Yeah. Take that sword. When the fire comes, it gives you the authority. It gives you that extra ability to go, you look scary. You have to remember, when David had to walk up to him, he was still huge. And again, I'm not saying this is my interpretation. What if he was still breathing? What if he was and he was just unconscious? He had to choose to say, I'm going to take that sword and to cut off your head. He didn't know if he could jump up in a moment. He had to get close. But when you have the authority of God and the fire comes on you, you're not scared to go into darkness because you carry the light of God. And when you carry the light of God, darkness has to flee. And so today, take up your sword. Boldly take up your sword. Come on, let your light shine. You're not a little light. You carry the light that is set upon a hill. We are not a body of Christ that sings this little light of mine. We do not have a little light. That's not our theology. Our light is huge. because we're set on fire. Come on. Who wants to be on fire? Come on, Lord, let your fire come right now, God. Lord, each one of us, let us experience your fire. Lord, we hold on heaven right now. We say, fire, God, come. Fire, God, come. Come on, you guys, stir yourself up. It's your choice. Do you want the fire of God to impact you today? Do you want to be shut up in your bones? Do you want to wake up in the morning excited because the fire of God is put boldness upon your heart? Come on, it's time we rise up. Because when the fire hits us, when the fire consumes us, we come alive in Him. No longer are we ashamed of the gospel, but we speak boldly because the fire of God is upon our tongues. Come on, there's fire in our eyes, there's fire in our belly. Will you stir yourself up today and say, God, I want more fire. I want more fire, God. Lord, touch us today, God. Holy Spirit, release your fire upon our lives. Change us, burn us, Lord God. I want to be wrecked by you, God. Holy Spirit, release it, God. Release your fire of hunger right now. Come on, release your fire of hunger, God. That supernatural hunger says we don't have enough. Come on. Come on, I shared a while back, you cannot believe you attained if you're sitting there going, I've already had the fire. Oh, I've been baptized. No, it's not enough. That's the difference between the people that are changing the world and those who are not. Because when you get the fire on you, the world changes around you. Because they can't help but get on fire. They either have to flee or they catch it. And we're a body that is going to show the world that this fire is good. This isn't mixed fire, it's one pure fire, a pure flame, right on the Word of God. Come on, built on the Word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, the book of Acts was just the start. So often we get caught up in the book of Acts. Oh, I'm going to go read about it, I'm going to read about it. No, we're supposed to be living it. That was just the beginning. He said it was going to be greater. Come on, the Lord's been burning on me. It's going to be greater. I said I'll pour out more in the last days. We are in the last days. We're closer than we ever were. So Lord God, I pray right now, fire come. Lord, I pray people would actually tangibly feel your presence right now, that fire burning. I speak to any fire that has gotten washed out. You know what's cool about God's fire? Think about Elijah. He poured water on the altar. He poured water on the altar. And he had to choose to believe when God said, pour that water. And this is what's happening even now. You're stepping into something. You have to choose right now with your own mindset saying, either this is just some young guy trying to tell me to get fire, or else God really wants to touch me today. That's your choice, not mine. I chose the fire. I want more fire. It's up to you now. It's each of you. We need it together. Oh, God, you're so awesome. Let your fire come, God. Let your fire, God, come. Lord Jesus, let your fire come.
I don't know where to go. I'm just on fire. She's going to get messy.
Grab your miracle. Come on. Once again, I just declare that we here as a body at Windward just want your presence. And this is a choice in your own heart, because when you step into his presence, he usually asks you to do stuff because you're his hands and his feet. He doesn't just give us the fire just to sit there. Yes, he loves it when we just get experience and the seasons of that. But when you get the fire, you can't help but take up his mission. And you know what his mission is? It is to love his people, to open their eyes and say, I am Abba Father. That's what God's declaring. He's the Father, and he desires each one of his children. And the world, we owe the world to show them how good our God is. Because it's their God too, they just don't know it yet. So Lord, we just point to you. We point to you, and again, Lord, release that miracle. Release the miracles in the room right now, Lord God. Release your healing touch just because you're a good dad. And things happen in the fire. Come on, in the fire things burn away, the chaff burns. And you come alive. Lord, I release the healing right now into the name of Jesus into this room right now. I decree it. I take the word and we apply it to our lives. And you said you came to set the captive free. You came to heal the sick and the brokenhearted. Lord, I pray for every emotional and physical sickness right now to be healed in Jesus' name. Don't just wait till somebody calls out a word of knowledge. Grab your miracle today. And again, you are loved. If right now you say, just like Val shared, if you don't think you're worthy of your healing, break that mindset now. You are worthy because Jesus made you worthy. He made you worthy. Oh, come on. God, you're so good. Woo, this is good. Lord, just touch us. Mark us. Come on, release that expectation over our lives. You know how fun it is when you wake up every day expecting God to do something? Take him out of the box. Let's take our minds out of the box. Do you know you cannot exaggerate how good God is? You cannot exaggerate how much he wants to bless you. We can't even imagine, that's what the word says, how much he loves you and wants to bless you. Mark us, God. Lord, I want to go higher. I want to go deeper in you. Higher and deeper. You know what I feel right now to encourage those around you today? Well, do it after the service or whenever you want to. I encourage you, go to somebody and tell them, because I want more. Hold me accountable. I want more. Make a choice. Because it's wonderful if we get excited on Sunday morning, but what happens on Monday? What happens Sunday afternoon? When you feel that tug and says, and God's like, come on, spend time with me. And you're like, no, I like Netflix. Come on. It's not about religion. But there's something about when you have the relationship, it just rocks you. And as soon as you start touching the fire, as soon as you start, it's the most exciting thing. And then you start sharing it. Val was sharing with that testimony in the foyer. She came alive when she shared it. Because we come alive when we share his love. Because each one of you were made to share his love. Don't wait for a pastor or evangelist to do all the work. Don't make it work, make it a lifestyle. God, you're good. Yes, come on, fire fall.
Yes, Lord, you're the God of miracles. I just want the music to keep playing. I know it's a long set. If you guys need chairs, sit down. But if we could just keep playing, okay? I'm throwing out. No, I'm not. I'm postponing the message. It was a good message, I thought. But the Lord knows best. He knows best. Hey, Catherine, see, bless you. You spend hours in preparation, planning for what you're thinking the Lord is taking us to. But listen to this testimony right now, because this is my testimony of preparation. But the greatest testimony was that I prepared. And then let God take what he was going to prepare and go with. I feel in my heart, if you're a person that wants to hold the sword, do some switches with these guys. It's a lot to hold a sword for a long time. It uses muscles that we don't always use. But I want to keep the worship going. I feel the Lord has got something super special. And at the end of the service, we'll try to end a bit earlier. And we're going to try to close with, I saw the swords and a fire tongue. And just got confirmed, okay. So I saw it so clearly, swords and a fire tunnel. So we're going to go that route. If you don't know what a fire tunnel is, don't worry. It's a prayer line, basically. But it's not that we're praying for you. It's that we're actually blessing you. And you're letting go of what you need to let go. And then I saw this. I want to call it an angel, but I wasn't sure if it was a demonic slave. Listen to what I'm saying. But he was the one with a pitchfork, like a winnowing fork. And as we went through the tunnel, the stuff that was falling off, all his job was to grab the garbage and throw it. But it didn't just go over the fence, it literally disappeared. I've never seen that angelic form. I don't know if it's a captured slave, a demon, that his whole perspective is throwing his dirtiness back, or whether it was an angel that's actually geared and designed just for that one purpose, to throw the garbage away. Of course, I know biblically it's laid at the cross, but I'm just sharing a vision that I saw. I can't give reference of why I saw it, but it's just what I saw, and we'll just take it at that. It's not a truth, it's what I saw. Sometimes you see truth, but if we make everything we see a truth, then we push for everyone to hear what we saw and what we see. And it's not our duty to push anyone to see or believe what we saw was a truth. It's our duty as prophetic, it's our duty as sons and daughters of the King. It's our duty to share what we saw, but it's not our duty to justify it. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not our duty to speak a word over somebody then justify it. It's not even our duty to justify their miracle. It's not our duty to do that. It's our duty to be obedient. The testimony is, remember, first, that we're going forward doing something. I wasn't prepared to share on this, but I'm pulling out the Bible with paper. I usually use my laptop or iPad or iPhone because I can increase the print size. But this scripture just came so clearly to me. In Psalms chapter 84, it talks about the blessings of dwelling in the house of God. In Psalms 84, starting in verse 1, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. How lovely is your church. My soul, verse 2, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. This is in preparation of the verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. So listen. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. That's how hungry David is when he's writing this scripture. That his soul longs, that means that it is constantly searching and seeking. His soul longs, it hungers. You know when you find someone that you love or you think you love and you're infatuated, you start to date, you know how your soul longs for that, or your heart longs for that person? This is even more. This is our soul longing for the Creator. Verse 3, even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself. where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Verse 3 is talking about find a home, find a nesting place. That's what we're called to do. This whole aspect of, well, we don't have to be a part of a family. Let's call it the church. People don't like the word be a part of church. You know what? We need to wake up, grow up, smell the roses, and realize it's actually God's plan. You can call it church, you can call it gathering, you can call it whatever you can call it a home group, I don't care, whatever you call it. But there is a gathering of the saints that has more power and authority to do more things in his name, by his name, as we gather together. One puts to flight 1,000, two put to flight 10,000. And this verse is talking about it. Do you see? That's why verse 3 says, for the sparrow has found a home. You know, when Moses... Noah let go of the sparrow, of the bird, of the dove. It actually, the whole prospect to know whether or not the answer of the word of God was real or not was whether or not that bird found a home. Have the waters receded? That bird finding a home was the key that released Noah and all the people, that the answer of God, that the flood was residing, was receding, was now happening. When we find a home, it becomes the answer of God. I'm not saying a home at Windward. I'm saying just find a home. In verse 4. And blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will sing praises, praising you, Selah, let it be so. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. When you look at that original word pilgrimage, it means a highway. Whose heart is set on the highway. As they pass through the valley of Baca, means the valley of weeping. You don't stay in the valley of Baca. You don't stay in the valley of weeping. You pass through the valley on a highway. That means you go through fast. Weeping is but for a moment. As they pass through the valley of Baca, weeping, the valley of weeping, they make it spring. We turn the weeping valley in our lives, in our heart, to spring. What does spring represent? Fresh start. Do you remember the words earlier in the service today? A fresh start. It's when you go and you plant things. You know, after, I was going to say, all of our snow, which last year we had quite a bit of snow, but usually it's after all our rain, which I wouldn't mind some rain right now. I actually am missing it. I never thought I'd say that, but I'm actually missing using my windshield wipers. Hearing the pitter-patter on the roof. Isn't that just wonderful sometimes? But give us middle of October, November, we'll be asking for sun again. But either way, right now we need rain. We ask for rain, Father God. Put these fires, the bad fires, out. But let your fire rain on us in this house today. They make it spring. The rain also covers it with pools. You know what that word pools represents? Blessings. Hold it. Let's run that by again. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. That word Selah means let it be so. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Whose strength? God's strength is in us. And our strength is in God. Blessed is the man, the person whose strength is in God. So our strength is not in us. His strength is in us. Whose heart is set on the highway. They're literally expecting to go fast. Where? Through the valley of weeping. They're expecting to go fast. Why? Because their heart is set on God, and God doesn't want you to live in the valley of weeping. And so as we are set, we set on a highway. Well, you know what? I like highways. I like highways that have no speed limits. I want to go to the Autobahn sometime. I've been on it briefly, but not driving. I wanted to, but he wouldn't let me. I remember in the United States, there was one section, I think it was in Northern Nevada or something like that, that one section years ago in the 70s and 80s didn't have a speed limit. Montana still doesn't. I'm going to Montana. Let's vacation in Montana. Woo! Ooh, I want to see what those vehicles will do. You know why? Because I want to go fast through weeping. I don't want to hang out and camp there. I want a highway to go whipping right through it. Because when I go whipping right through it, the ministry, the car, the vehicle we're traveling in, ourselves whipping right through it, we go so fast that as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. They make it a spring where water boils up, but also, I believe, springtime, a fresh start. When you're in a desert and you're thirsty, what's the first thing you want to see? A spring, oasis, water, palm trees growing in the middle of a desert. I've been in desert areas, many of them. And all of a sudden you see this green trees in the middle of the rocks and the sand. You see green trees. I believe that's what's happening this morning. Because when we do that and we go through fast, we turn the weeping into springs, which turn into pools. Verse 7. And they go, the people go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. We go from strength to strength. Not weakness to weakness. Not problem to problem. Not issue to issue. Not disaster to disaster. Not weeping to weeping. We go from strength to strength. We have victory in Jesus Christ over every sickness, sin, and death. We have victory through Jesus Christ by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in us, that we walk through valleys of weeping, but we are on a highway, in a Porsche, in a Mercedes, in a Mustang, in something other than a Dodge. Oh, no. No, what's the fast Dodge? There's a Viper. Viper. I'll go for a Viper. Or the challenge, there's a new Duster. Isn't there a new Duster? A Demon. No, forget the Demon. That sounds like Dodge. Sorry. I'm kidding. You understand, but I'm not. Anyways, we have to get in the vehicle that God has called us to. And what vehicle was it proceeding to the verses just before that? His house. Find the family that you will go fast in, that you will accelerate in. Not your way, but the family's way. Because actually, we're in a big, huge bus or train. It's just supercharged for speed. I saw that 1970 Chevy pickup drive in this morning. I bet it's fast. High performance motor. I saw it's a red one out there. Very, very nice. So what we're gonna do, we're going to conclude the service today. I believe the message that was brought is the house of praise, the house of celebration, the house of joy. Not often do our worship leaders stand for 2 hours playing. But I tell you what, when God has called us to advance and go forward, we must advance and go forward. See this one carrying that sword? Scares me. Because it's time for the women to rise up into their destiny and their calling. And see her husband right across scares me. Because it's time for the victories that Jesus Christ has for every one of us. Every one of us. If anyone thinks it's men that has his victory, get it straight. Everyone thinks I guess biblically I'm the head of the family, absolutely, but the reality is we all know. Just like Jesus and the scriptures say, and so many times we get preached, wives submit to their husbands. You know what? Why don't we just look at the verses right before that that says, husbands love their wives as Christ loves the church. Let's focus on that one for a while and forget the 80 or 100 or 150 years that focused on the other one for a while. Let's focus on husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. Because when we do that as men of God, everything else falls into place. Why am I saying that? Because we need to hear it. Because some of you have been hurt by a husband or by a man that thought the other way. I want to talk to you this morning and say, Jesus is the lover of our soul. He's the lover of our soul.